What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Here it comes again. Lunch. Will it be the same old, same old? Or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations. Limited time only. Plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome back to Wrestling Omakase. It is episode number 92, I think. I should have looked that up first, but I didn't.
Don't ask
That's
me.
That's the kind of excellence you get on this podcast, but I'm pretty sure it's 92.
I do know it's called Wrestle Omakase because wrestling when you fit. That I am aware
That's
of.
That's the Twitter handle, yep. That's right.
Because the,
That's the end of the show.
I heard.
You're mixing up the beginning
Yeah, I've
the
heard.
End.
Yeah, well, I'm changing it up.
So, as you can probably hear, I'm joined by my buddy Quinlan again, my wrestling travel companion who...
Of many years.
He's been here to... Why did you, like, lean into the microphone when you said many? He was like, many! Yeah. we're here in my apartment. This is amazing, actually, having WrestleMania. WrestleMania weekend...
In New York City.
In New York needs to be here every year. I know everybody else hates it because, like, the travel logistics suck. For people who are used to just, like, driving between venues because you can't drive here.
Yeah, but I live here, so I don't care.
Yeah, I live here, too. I jump in a fucking Lyft, take a 20-minute ride home from the venue 2 days in a row, and I'm in my own bed. It's so amazing.
I'm in New Jersey, and I just drive up here and do whatever.
Well, you stay the night.
And I stay here, yeah. But I could find... We know plenty of people that are just driving home to New Jersey every time. It's not that hard. New Jersey and... I mean, WrestleMania is literally in New Jersey. They keep saying New York, but the... Freaking show is in East New Jersey. I hate to break it to him, but
you got that Jersey pride going.
New York does not have a football. No, I'm just saying. I think it's stupid that they don't run a stadium in New York. But I guess Do they only run football stadiums? I've actually been wondering. Is that the reason? Like, because there is Yankee and Mets stadium.
Yeah,
because
they're not big enough for them, I guess.
Is that really the reason?
I guess.
I thought maybe because they can't figure out what the baseball schedule going on around. Ready to start, but...
Well, anyway. So, we're here. We're recording after a really, really fun 2 days of wrestling. We decided to record tonight, mostly because you're not going to be coming back here after MSG.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there'll be a million places you can hear MSG talk, but, you know, maybe we'll talk about it after or something, too. But I want to talk about the first five shows I went to, because all five, well, two of them were amazing. Two, I would say, were okay, and one was terrible.
This weekend, what was the, I think it was the book, A Tale of Two Cities. They say it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. This weekend is the best of wrestling.
And the worst
and
of...
it's the worst of wrestling. But I don't... The worst of the worst, I don't think we're getting until Sunday. But we've definitely had some bad stuff we've seen. But that's what happens.
So are you ready also to, like, say, give me a public apology for doubting my choice of wrestling shows? Since you insisted before... On Thursday night, that the WrestleCon Super Show, you're like, why are we going to that? I want to see Ospreay Bandido. Why are we going to DDT? I don't like DDT.
Well,
and then what'd you tell me the show was? You were like angry that you had to tell me the show was great. You were like, shut up.
I was doing that as a joke. But where was Ospreay Bandido?
That was WrestleCon Super Show Thursday night, which
all these matches and schedules like melded into my mind to the point where I didn't know which match I was seeing and which show I was going to. I was like, oh, that match is happening? I think I'm seeing that, but I don't know. Okay.
And then you weren't seeing it, so...
Well, no, this is just for, like, all these matches I kept hearing, because there was stuff everywhere, to the point where some shows only drew, like, 10 people, but...
Yeah, like,
get to that.
When we
if that's... It. In theory, that's what we think happened, but
yeah.
We'll get to that.
But so are you going to give me my public apology for doubting me?
I never doubted you.
On DDT
and
Star. Oh, okay.
Do we have that on public record?
I don't know if we have it on public
I don't think we do, so you have no proof.
That's true. Okay, so let's start at the start, which was...
That's a good
start, one. Start at the beginning, which was Thursday.
To the start.
Thursday at La Boom, which was both of our first time ever at La Boom.
Yep.
I mean, it's like, seriously, like 20 minutes from my house, but I've never gone.
Yeah, I've never been there either. I did find it funny. People kept saying, oh, you ever been to Evolve? And I was like, I think I was at the first Evolve show and then...
And then never again.
I think we went... I could have sworn we went a second time.
Oh, maybe.
I could have sworn we went to two.
We definitely went to Dragon Gate USA.
Yeah, we went to Dragon Gate
USA. I don't think we went to Evolve.
Not the first one, the one where they crowned the first champion.
Yeah.
That we arrived too late because of the goddamn traffic, including some of the wrestlers around.
We
missed half the show, if you remember.
Yeah, I remember that now. So Evolve, I've never gone... there's been a bunch of times where I've almost done it. I saw the card and I was like, oh, that sounds really good. It was usually like during like the Keith Lee like kind of era. They would almost get me a few times, but like I never pulled the trigger.
Go to their DVDs and you see all these faces. There have been so many people that have come and gone to Evolve, so they've had a lot of names over the years.
So this is our very first
Someone
time
kept in... telling us Brian Danielson. I don't think he ever wrestled in Evolve.
Yeah, he did. Very first show.
Are you sure? I could have sworn they were going to build it around him, but he got signed by WWE, so they built it around Davey Richards instead.
Okay,
I could be wrong. I could be.
He
might have just worked the first couple shows and left.
I think that's correct.
Okay.
I think that is correct. I do think he.
I know all the videos leading up to Evolve featured Davey Richards, and they said it was originally going to be Bryan Danielson, but he got signed.
I'm glad that we're here just, like, speculating on the air. Like, we don't...
Everyone kept telling me that. I'm like, are you sure? I could have sworn he was in the WWE by then.
I hate to break it to you, buddy.
But he did. When,
he did
though?
Wrestle in
was
Evolve,
it when he got sense. Released? Or
I'm going to look it up. Hold on. Cage Match is telling me. So he wrestled on Evolve 4 and Evolve 5.
Oh, okay. But not the first couple shows. He wasn't on the first show.
That's
I was
true.
Right about that.
All
right. Do we have that on record?
We do have that on record.
Bryan Danielson was not on the first Evolve show, everybody.
2010.
You heard it here first. It was when he got released,
When he got released?
That's when he got released.
Okay.
It was when he got released by WWE. So I was right. You're wrong. I know you're used to that by now, John. But I know it never gets easy. I said he may have been when he got released, but I said when Evolve started, he was not there.
All right. Calm down.
All right.
So,
anyway.
Evolve. We never went to LaBoom until...
No, this was our first time at this building. The area was okay, you know, it was... A nice venue, really tight for that first show.
Yeah, the
chair, which I guess we're gonna start
with. I think side A, which we were on, like the which is like the side in front of the heart. Not that the heart camera's shooting, the side where the horror camera is.
Mm-hmm.
That side, for some reason, like the chairs are more pressed together.
Yeah,
because the other two shows we were on side
B. Well, let's say what our first show was.
I know, Evolve.
Evolve. Okay.
The other two shows we were on side B, and like the chairs were not nearly as pressed together. So. True. But yeah, so the first show was Evolve, noon on Thursday. First of all, very weird going to a wrestling show at noon.
But it got weirder the next day, but seeing a show early. But,
and Evolve's a weird show.
It was fine.
It started really well.
First half was great.
Kurt Stallion and Katsuhiro Higuchi, they had a legitimate four-star match. That was really awesome. I already kind of knew Kurt Stallion was good. I remember seeing him, I think I saw him at AAW. He was there when we went for All In Weekend, and he was really good. And he always looked good to me in the ROH Prospect Tournament. I think I saw him a bunch of times.
Yeah, I remember he looked familiar, and you said he was in an ROH Prospect Tournament. So.
He's got a very, like, skinny body, but, like, he wrestles bigger than he is, you know? Yeah. So, like, yeah, he does a good job, and he also did, like, the comedic selling a little bit in this match, where, like, Higuchi would, like, slap him so super fucking hard, be like, ah, that fucking hurts!
Yeah. Not this! Boom! Like, the stuff Kevin Steen used to do.
It was pretty awesome. But, yeah, they just had a fucking great match.
Yeah, they had a great match.
And then the Skulk came out, and I had no idea, I keep seeing the name The Skulk, you know? Mm-hmm. And I do not watch Evolve, I have no fucking clue. I'm thinking they're like some kind of creepy heel stable or something, but no, they're like a dance like rap group, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And they're the new Special
and it's,
K.
It's pretty clear that Gabe was like, "I like Special K. Let me bring that back."
Did he Gabe like Special K? Because didn't they lose like all the time?
That's true.
But I remember thinking they were so weird, considering they had the longest like intro to their theme music, and then they were just a bunch of dudes that got squashed.
Well, no, because you came later.
Oh, okay.
Because you,
but they were really over at the beginning.
Yeah,
really
by the time you showed up, because you really started going to shows in like very end of 03, early 04, right? Like
mid 04.
But was my first their show. Peak was like 03.
Yeah, that's when everyone they bought
like,
their shirts.
They were like a heel stable, yeah. And like they would beat the shit out of people like 10-on-1. By the time you were watching, they were just like, that was like the last legs of them.
Yeah, because people left because they weren't getting enough money from the shirts, I'm guessing.
But, or I don't
since
know.
Since they were like 50 members, but their shirt was the number one selling thing, but split up among that many people.
Yeah.
But yeah, it reminded me a lot of Special K, so
it was really fun.
Interesting to see,
Everybody loved it. And like, the other thing about the Evolve show too, it actually had like more people than I expected. Like, there were about 90 tickets left when I did the last count, and they claimed sold out, so maybe... It just had a really big walk up, I think. I don't think it didn't look quite as packed as DDT to me.
No, but DDT much. But it looked more
like
crowded
than
the next show.
You could probably get away with saying like 500 for that.
Sure, yeah.
So it was pretty crowded.
But the second half is when all the matches, people started using rest holds and stuff, and it's like at this point in the show, this crowd is pretty tired. You know, it's early and. Doing a bunch of rest holds, like what you need to get the crowd up now are like high spots, and none of them, and all the high spots were in the early matches.
Yeah. So. And then that fucking main event. Austin Theory, okay?
Tahiri.
I heard people say that this man has improved. If that's him after he's improved, I don't fucking know what he was like before. Because he was like, you were the one who made the joke about him and Randy Orton.
Yeah, I said if he had a match with Randy Orton, like the universe would implode
like
or something.
2019 like, Randy
a
Orton.
A paradox would be created that a match so boring that the universe would explode, like in Back to the Future, like Doc Brown always says. Like, because he was doing the right, the crowd is already like pissed off and dead, and he'd go to a rest hold. That's like Randy Orton's strategy.
Okay, so he does like
let's kill him more.
The 10-hour long intro thing, which was not cool at all, it was just fucking stupid. And then Kyle O'Reilly copied it, which is kind of funny, but
it
also took forever.
I was entertained by Kyle O'Reilly doing it because that's not something he normally does.
And let's give, you know, I was excited when I heard Kyle O'Reilly got announced for this, and I was like, okay, well, it's against Austin Theory, who I don't think is, you know, I've never seen him really in a good match. But maybe Austin Theory's better, and I've always liked Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle O'Reilly had it in like, I don't know, first one and a half gear, maybe first and a half.
Yeah.
Like he did not seem like he gave a fucking shit. And that might be, like, I don't know, I haven't seen a lot of stuff from the NXT Evolve era, but, like, to me, that would be a problem, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that, like you have all these guys who are used to much bigger buildings, and now you're telling them, yeah, go fucking wrestle in the boom in front of 500 people.
Yeah.
And just and be into it. And Kyle did not look into it. Yeah. So. And maybe it was also that it was on WrestleMania weekend, and he'd rather be wrestling on fucking TakeOver,
which he's not, which yeah. I still... I mean, the only reason he was able to... I was thinking, how did he get away with wrestling? I'm like, oh yeah, he doesn't have a freaking match at TakeOver. That's why. Because they won't let guys wrestle before a big show because they're afraid they'll get hurt.
Yeah,
and then I remembered, yeah, he's not on freaking TakeOver. Kyle O'Reilly, don't got room for you. But.
So yeah, so that match was really, really...
And Adam Cole wouldn't have been either if Ciampa didn't get hurt, but that's... Yeah. But, and Adam Cole wasn't at the show. The biggest pop of the night was when the rest of the Undisputed, minus Adam Cole, came out at the end. But
yeah, so Roderick and Fish.
Roderick and Fish ran out. It was great to see them, but...
But yeah, so I mean, this is a crowd that, like, popped for the...
I would have liked to see him wrestle, but, you know, I guess we couldn't have that.
They popped for the NXT stars, and they just... I mean, like, you know, they had the downer thing with Darby... The downer thing with Darby Allin and Anthony Henry, where the...
That match was weird, because it was just... The Darby crowd getting the shit kicked out of him.
Well, and then as we found out, he's leaving.
I guess, okay. But the so crowd... like, we're going to make you look like the biggest fucking dork. We could entertain the fans, but no, I'm more mad at you.
The crowd loves Darby, too.
That should have been more of a competitive match. Like, yeah. I know he's leaving, but Jesus, like, give me something. He just got the shit kicked out of him for 10 minutes, and that was the end. And I was like, okay. And that's when the show went down, if you remember. That's when the show went real, like, and from then on, it was had... trouble recovering. And then I thought the Street Profits were pretty good, but I know you weren't into it. I mean, the first half was still much better.
JD Drake versus the bigger Street Profit, which one is that? Not Montez Ford, the other
one. Yeah, the other Montez Ford is the name I always remember. Dawkins, so, right? Angelo Dawkins, yeah.
That was decent. That was I thought they got blown up, but you know, they're two bigger guys.
They're much bigger guys. I went, and he had already wrestled a match, even though it was short. Colby Carino, which... That logo on his chest, that's the Capsule Corp symbol, buddy. That's not your stupid name. That's the I kept thinking, is he here to avenge, you know, his dead family by killing, you know, the androids? But instead he's going to fight Angelo Dawkins? I don't know. But
at least the crowd was in the show. That always helps.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was the other match I wanted to mention too, the tag title match. They just did not click at all, those two teams.
I don't even remember what the tag title match was.
Eddie Kingston and Joe Gacy.
Oh, yeah, that match, yeah, they did not click.
Takashita
and
Mao. Mao especially looked like he had no idea what these Americans were trying to do. And, like, Kingston, again, is another guy who looked like he had it in, like, first gear.
Yeah.
Joe Gacy tried really...
Kingston might have had a lot more matches this weekend.
He did.
Okay, then he maybe just didn't want to go at all in one
match. I thought Joe Gacy was, like, the star of that match. Yeah. That's not a guy I've really seen that much of, but he was trying really hard. I'll give him that. I don't know if he's trying to impress DDT or what and get a tour or something.
That'd be cool.
But he was like really, he was really into it. But Eddie Kingston didn't seem like he really gave a shit. And, you know,
he's retiring this year, so.
Well, no, he says that every year.
Apparently. Oh, okay.
I thought that too, but like someone told me, no, he says that every year now.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I love Eddie Kingston, so.
Yeah, you know, I do love Eddie Kingston. I just think he was saving his energy.
Yeah,
for,
he just didn't really care.
He had a long weekend ahead of him. And...
But Mao, you know, Mao just looked lost, and Takeshita tried as hard as he could. But, you know, let me rephrase that. They tried, you know, they just didn't had another match that night, too. And they were both in really big matches.
Yeah.
So I can't really blame anybody there. But, yeah, so overall, I mean, it's one of those things where if you're going to have a wrestling show where half is very pretty damn good and half is, like, pretty bad, it should really be the second half that's good and the first half that's bad, you know? Because, like, at least then you'll come away with it, like, the memory of, like...
And also, this weekend, everyone, I know that you should be acting like this is your biggest show of the year because you're seeing fans. Fans are coming to see your show that have never... A lot of them, many of them that have never seen your stuff before.
Yeah.
So you should, in order to get them to come back, you should give them the best show possible. And at the end of this weekend, two shows did that. One show absolutely did not. And Evolve... Evolve was almost like, maybe if... And that's what when the show was over, we're both kind of like, maybe if they're in the area, maybe. Maybe. But that's better than what the other one said. But, like, you know, maybe go back. But,
They'd have to be some people I not really like for me to go back.
Yeah, so we'll see what their next cards are.
I mean, my favorite person there now is gone, so, as far as, like, the roster.
Oh, which one?
Darby
Allin. Oh, yeah.
So now he's just...
You'll get to see him in AEW, buddy.
I mean, look, I was just telling...
Tickets now.
I was telling somebody, like, if I'm gonna have to watch that to cover it anyway, at least they may as well have
a good roster.
A person I really like.
Like him and MJF. And,
oh, yeah, fuck MJF. Okay. All right.
And Kenny, I know you're a big... You still got that Kenny shirt in there, right? Don't lie to the people.
Oh, I do not have a Kenny shirt in there.
What happened to it?
I think I threw it out.
Fuck you.
But yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm pretty sure I did.
Fucking dick.
I was like, I don't want this no more.
Uh-huh. All right, moving on. Or throw you out a window.
But yes.
I hope Naito doesn't get too over in MSG. Then you're like, I'm throwing this shit out. Yeah.
Or if Naito, like, doesn't lose his mind and book a pedophile. Anyway.
Fake news.
We can talk
about this in 2 seconds. I don't know what the fuck they were thinking, but this show was pretty bad.
Look,
WXW.
Let me try to give them some
maybe praise. They're I better, mean, but I can't understand why this is the show they would put on for this.
Let me try to give them some praise, okay? They treat it like it was another show on their calendar.
That's the problem.
Okay, so they play these videos to try to get you
into the match. But the videos kept fucking up.
The videos were fucking horrible.
Yeah,
like the sound quality was like distorted and like.
You didn't see it, but when they were like trying to get the first video started, apparently a guy started playing the wrong video, and the guy in front of the sound guy was like, "Turn the fucking thing off!" I'm screaming, "Turn it off!" I'm like, guys, calm down. this show was
they tried.
I felt like I was watching Raw. Like
yes,
like
okay, guys that's just, exactly what I was gonna say. It felt like a WWE
house show. Yeah, but I heard those are more fun than the TV shows.
It felt like we were just dropped into WXW schedule on a random fucking night. Like, here's a WXW show. And this is what the guy on Twitter who yelled at me before when the card came out, when I was like, this card looks kind of stupid. And this guy was like, oh, they booked up, this is in the middle of a great feud. They booked a WXW card. I'm like, okay, well, you might like that, Mr. European man that loves WXW. Mm-hmm. The point of WrestleMania weekend is supposed to be to introduce new fans.
Yeah.
To put your best foot forward to expand our international market. It's not supposed to be a great card just for Mr. Hardcore WXW fan who knows every single person.
There were only like 12 people there.
Yes. Like the next show in this building showed you how you're supposed to do an introduction card.
And a show we saw today. Yeah.
So like, if you're trying to introduce new fans, this is the worst way to do it. You just drop people into the middle of your fucking calendar. You play some terrible videos of distorted sound that don't tell us anything. Like, all they told us was like, yeah, so this match is happening because some young people made fun of Absolute Andy for being old. What does that tell me about anything?
Yeah.
Absolute Andy. Who is... I don't even know who the fuck... If you watch that video, you would think Andy was, like, the baby face.
That's
for getting
made
fun of. But then he comes out and he's the fucking heel.
Yeah, I was confused.
Now, if you're a WXW fan listening to this, you're probably like, of course Andy's a heel. I don't know. Everyone knows that. Yeah, like, I have no fucking clue.
I've only seen one... I've seen that match between everyone was talking about. I saw that Walter and Ospreay. That was WXW, right?
Yeah, I think
I saw that. That match was awesome. But that's the only thing I've seen.
I've seen a few matches. So let me give another
example. And I also want to say something else. This is the one show all weekend that we saw Dave Meltzer at. This is the show he went to. I just thought about that till now. Because this crowd was pretty empty of all the shows we went to.
It was like half... The building was... Half full. I was going to get to that.
And Dave Meltzer was... I'm like, why
Dave
would
Meltzer
you go
looked,
to this
he
one?
He looked a little bored.
He looked happy to me. But he always seems to have a frozen face of happiness when he's watching wrestling. But
okay, so back to my original point. You just drop us right in the middle of it and expect us to care. It's never going to work. Playing a bunch of 5-second videos with distorted sound.
Doesn't help.
You have to introduce people to your promotion. That's complaint number one. Complaint number two, you just alluded to it. Crowd was half empty. Mm. You know, that's not entirely their fault, I guess. I mean, you know, they had really strong competition with Bloodsport in Jersey City, which a lot of people went to. I regret not going to
it. Well, then we would have to go and come back to the same place. That was the problem. I mean, WXW was there just because it was there, and we were there.
Yeah, we went to it because it was
after. It's kind of like when you watch some crappy TV show between two shows you like back in the day. So we went. But that still didn't mean they didn't have to put on such a crappy show. They should have made us think, wow, we stayed, and boy, are we happy we stayed for that one. But they didn't. They didn't at all. It was really... I don't know what they were thinking when they did this show, but... I don't know.
But yeah, so
we didn't go out of there saying, well, I can't wait for WXW to come back. We were like, oh, I never need to watch that again.
But like I was saying, we could have gone to Bloodsport. I regret not going to Bloodsport.
Yep.
I thought we wouldn't make it back in time. I've heard
things about Bloodsport that is very good.
But I thought we wouldn't make it back in time. Maybe we would have for DDT. I don't know. I don't regret it in the fact that the DDT show was amazing. It was
awesome, yeah.
As we'll talk about. I'm glad I was there right from the start. But yeah, that was my thinking. I just didn't want to risk
it. And one more thing about WXW, people were leaving like during the main event.
Okay, well, I'm not done with WXW. Let me go back.
What else does this say?
So the crowd is half empty, yes. Right? The crowd is half empty. That's my first point.
Mm.
You know, there's maybe, I don't know, 300 people there. If I'm being generous, it might even be less. Sure,
yeah. Maybe less, 250.
So I think the crowd there, right? You had basically a lot of people that did not follow the product at all, probably. Yeah. And then you had like 15 to 20 European people.
Less than that.
Like, oh, maybe 12. 10 to 15.
Yeah.
10 to 15 European people
who knew
all the chants, doing their chanting, taking their shirts off.
And even they stopped doing it before the end of after like halfway through the show. I didn't really hear them as much.
Yeah, you're
anymore.
Right. They did eventually get tired of it. But like early on, like it was really, really awkward. Like you're sitting there like, okay, so I don't know these people. What's going on? And you hear, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
But it's only like two guys, so it's like, but they were very loud.
Yeah.
Taking their shirts off, tops off for Avalanche, I think it was.
And we're like, what is going on?
I mean, they do stuff like that on NXT UK, so they have their own little...
Which is fine. It's fine. But like, no one else was doing it.
Because we didn't get it.
The DDT women handed out fucking flyers just to tell us how to throw a fucking streamer.
Yeah.
Okay? The WXW fans could have, like, maybe, I don't know, told somebody what the fuck their chants were or something. I don't know. The whole thing was just felt really, really, really awkward. So that didn't help. And then the matches mostly sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, the matches weren't... That fucking shotgun title match between two heels, the Nihilist, I guess? With the blinking white light that I think we thought was going to give me a fucking seizure.
Yeah, and pyro that I thought was going to light the building on fire. That went off, by the way, during an Evolve match that the crowd got distracted for a while and started thinking Goldberg was
coming out. Yeah, they started chanting for Goldberg.
Or Gilbert. Or debating which one was going to be.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we're done.
Well, hold on. Let me go.
I want to talk about the good stuff.
A little more.
You got so much more out of that show than I did, buddy.
I mean, I want to give at least a little praise. David Starr and Lucky Kid, that was pretty good.
I guess
good
that
3.25-star match. Sure. David Starr is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good takeaway. You know... The main event was not good, though.
I don't even remember.
And like the tag title match, shout out to Joe Lanza. He gave it 4.5 stars. And that's one of those, like, you know, Joe, I met him. He seemed pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he was watching with that match.
Mm-hmm. Maybe like, he had a better view. I don't know.
No, he didn't. We were in the third row. I think he was a GA.
The cameraman was in front of me all weekend, like every show I went to.
No, WXW was like the one show where the cameraman was out in front. Oh, wait, no, WXW wasn't. We had second row.
Yeah.
That's right. We were right... If we're on the left side, and the cameraman was right in front of us.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so shout out to Joe Lanza. I don't know what the fuck that rating came from. I mean, that was like a 3-star match to me.
Different strokes.
Yeah. But it was something. Yeah, and then, like, the main event.
Yeah,
you know,
it happened.
It was just a match. I mean, like, and like you said, the crowd started, like, leaving during the semi-main to get to the WrestleCon Super Show. And, like, so the already sparse crowd became almost nothing.
Yeah.
And then we were just sitting there, like, okay. And, you know, it just ended. So. And then Joey Janela came out. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Challenged.
Someone quit, right?
David Starr.
But then he kept selling
his merch. Funny. But, yes, David Starr. Well, that's, like, a big thing we got to mention. Thank you for reminding me. David Starr, cut this big promo about, you know, apparently it's a thing, I guess, that he can't beat Walter. Or something. Walter was like the Shakespearean unseen villain of the show.
Except he was seen. I saw
him.
He was backstage. We saw him walking down the street. Yeah.
WWE just told him he can't fucking wrestle.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you sign up with World Wrestling Entertainment. They take your best wrestler away for your biggest show of the year.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania. Or I guess your fucking American debut.
Yeah.
You can't use your biggest star on your best wrestler.
They probably would have let him be used if he wasn't wrestling that weekend, but he is.
Well, they didn't let fucking takeover. Ilya wrestle.
Oh, yes.
And he's not fucking doing shit. So, I don't know. Like, come on. These fucking promotions sign up with the WWE and they have to, like, fuck them
that
hard.
That's what you do. Yep.
Okay. But, yeah,
anyway,
so not
on to the good stuff.
Not a good main event, right?
Nope.
What do you think of Bobby Guns?
I don't even remember who that was.
He's the guy in the main event against
Erie. That show was like a blur.
He's the guy who smoked.
Oh, sure. He smoked.
Because apparently it's a big debate there if he's good or not.
The whole show was
talked to Jamie from Dramatic DET after the show. And, you know, he's a guy that watches WXW and likes it. So I thought, like, he was going to defend more of it to me. And he was like, no, not really. And, like, I was asking him, like, you know, Bobby Guns, you know, is he any good? He's like, no.
Oh.
Like, they just like the chant, basically. Okay. The Guns, Bobby Guns, or whatever. Right.
So enough about fucking WXW. Can we move on now, please?
Not a good show.
Love of God.
Not a good show. What would you give? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs down. Can we move on, please, all right, to DDT?
So the last show of Thursday, the show that saved the day, quite literally.
Yes.
The Dramatic Dream Team.
Yes.
This show was pretty much incredible in every single way possible.
Yeah, it was better than Peter Pan that I was at, I think.
I think so, too, actually.
I mean, Peter Pan might have been better to watch, like on demand, maybe? I don't know. But being there live for that long, it kind of dragged. But I mean, this show was the perfect length. It had the perfect balance between comedy and serious wrestling, I thought. Something that... And it knew what to do for the American crowd most of the time.
Well, see,
got the wrong reaction, but it still worked, I think. They found a way to work with the reaction they weren't expecting. But other than that...
So if you like this better, by the way, what you should try doing is you just try watching the monthly Corican.
Maybe that's
true. Because this is about a Corican length.
Okay.
So maybe you would like the Coricans better than the big, long Peter Pan or Judgments. But yeah, I mean, I think it was better than Peter Pan. The Peter Pan one, too, by the way, was 2017. Which was the Takeshita.
And also, the Peter Pan, for that, like, that seemed like a show, and it was in Japan. So if you weren't a regular follower of DDT, the show wasn't made. It wasn't as entertaining for someone unless you were following DDT regularly, and that show was in Japan.
Yeah.
But this show is in America, so they brought us stuff where we didn't need to know a lot ahead of time to get the jokes, to get the story.
And they, like, went out of their way to explain
like I was saying, they knew they had first-timers watching the show, so they wanted to give them a show that they could get into and understand, and they did that perfectly, and with all their matches, and great show.
The crowd was amazing.
Loved everything. That was the loudest they were all day.
I have to say, first of all, I mean, the
building
fact
was freaking packed.
Building was
packed
so,
to the limit.
Like, you could not. They announced 650, and like it looked. I don't know how they got 650 people in there, but I believe it.
Yeah,
like that. You couldn't move if you tried to get out of your area. We had front row, so that was awesome.
That was great.
But yeah, I mean, like, the show was incredible. I want to go match by match in this one, because it was such a great show.
Opening was a serious match, the tag match.
Well, first we had, before that,
which
this was a perfect introduction if you don't know anything about DET. They bring out Saki Akai, and they're like, here's Saki Akai, who, by the way, she was so fucking... This is should have been the moment I knew the show was going to go great. When Saki Akai came out, and like the crowd loved her.
Yeah.
I was like, this crowd even loves Saki Akai.
I mean,
like,
I knew who she was, so...
They're going to love everybody. But, yeah, I mean, like...
Maybe they were just cheering, because I think a lot of people know about that title. Even though they explained it, I think a lot of people have heard about this title and the things it does. And I thought, I didn't say this till now, the perfect ending, I think, would have been to the show... is if Dino, when he came out, if someone, like, knocked him out, or maybe if he drank a beer and he got drunk and fell asleep with the mic on top of his chest,
the
mic won the title, and that's how they ended the show with the microphone, the new champion, but anyway.
So Saki Kai comes out, and they're like, yes, here's Saki Kai, the Iron Man Heavy Metalweight Champion. They had Mr. Haku, shout out to Mr. Haku, who did an amazing job. He was like, I'm the only one on the roster who speaks English,
so I'm going to explain everything to you people, so...
And then Saki Akai comes out and, you know, starts waving to the crowd. And then Makoto Oishii comes behind her. He was the biggest heel in history on the show.
Yes.
He spits in her face.
Doing this over and over.
And rolls her up and pins her to become the new champion. And they're like, well, we've already had one change to the card. He said she's not going to be participating. And the crowd started booing. And he's like, as champion.
As champion. Yeah.
People booed so loud that they might even miss that.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, she's still going to be in the match.
She's not
going to be champion.
Just not champion
going
in, but... And they explained to us that some people had, like, something that's essentially like Money in the Bank, as we would know in WWE.
Yes!
That a guy had, he explained, and he could cash that in. But if he gets pinned tonight, he loses it to whoever beats him. But someone does have this thing.
Yeah,
what is it called exactly? It's
right
basically
to,
Money
right
in the Bank.
Right, the challenge gauntlet.
Yeah. It's this gauntlet he carries, which...
Looks great. It's like a plastic
which I completely forgot about until he was standing next to him at the end, and I was like, oh my god. And everyone basically around me was like, oh god, wait. But we'll get to that. But anyway.
So, after Saki Kai gets pinned, the real opener was a tag team match Tetsuya Endo, who held one of those bracelets. Yes. Dun, dun, dun. And Soma Takao.
It was awesome, Tetsuya Endo.
Yeah. Soma Takao against Yukio Sakaguchi and Masa Takanashi. For, again, everybody was so fucking over. Yeah. I never in a million years. Like, when they announced the show, I'm like, okay, you know, there'll be a few hardcores and hopefully the show goes well. Everyone in that building, like, just loved everybody and loved everything. And, like, they were going so crazy for everyone on the roster.
Mm.
And I was just like, I just had no idea that was going to happen. The DT episodes do the worst numbers of anything we put up on this fucking...
Yeah,
but they were all there.
Might
basically.
Change now. I don't know. Yeah. If the word gets around about how awesome the show is.
Oh, I want to mention, too, the people who came up to me and said that they first started following DT because of this podcast. I think it was like two different people. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That was like the best compliment I could have ever gotten.
DDT,
I'm so happy.
Some
I feel like I actually
with this guy.
No. I don't need any fucking royalties. No. I'm so happy.
Then give me royalties.
I made a positive change in the world.
Yes.
By introducing more people to DDT
and hopefully taking them away from WWE.
Taking away from WWE. But thank you so much to two people who said that. I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was, but thank you so much if that was you.
Well, there were some people in that crowd who I would never think would be DDT fans who. Like that one guy who said he was a listener.
Oh yeah.
I don't know his name, but I've been seeing him going to wrestling shows for years. I would have never thought that he would be a DDT fan, and he was a passionate.
He was
DDT.
Like cheering oh, so loud for Takeshita.
He was getting so into that main event.
Yeah,
but
anyway, so the opener. This is a great tag team match. You know, Endo and Soma.
Yeah.
And I don't really remember anything from this match, honestly, except...
It was fun, and it was a good way to get the crowd into the show at the beginning. And it was a perfect opening match, basically.
Yeah, you know? And they start with something serious, because I think a lot of people have, like, when they hear DDT, if they're not fans, they probably think it's all comedy.
Yeah.
So this way you at least knew, like, you know, you're going to get some comedy, but you're also going to get some serious.
Yeah, and that's what they did every other match, basically.
Match two was the Iron Man Heavy Metalweight Battle Royal.
Yes.
This was fucking awesome.
This was great. This was better than the one I was at Peter Pan, which didn't really have a lot of
comedy.
It was
comedy. Like, just only women.
It was only women. Yeah. They didn't, and it wasn't really that funny. But this one was. I wanted one like kind of like that one year where the champion going in was like a table or some shit. And I mean, there was one object, but it was just a great match. And
So you was the X, which was awesome. I don't know why no one thought of that, because she was there at WXW.
Yeah, so why not?
So and she got a huge fucking pop when she came out.
She was awesome.
These people knew enough to know who fucking you is.
Oh, by the way,
that
was probably the best part of WXW, the chance for you.
Yeah.
I had to mention that, where they kept chanting, anything you can do better, and I will... The Whitney Houston song, Love You, so... That was great, but yeah, she was awesome.
She got a huge pop. Okay, the spot of the fucking night. Key Kitaro starts coming out.
And some guy in a suit with friggin', what do you call it, a stethoscope is following him. And I'm like, wait, what's wrong? And he starts taking his blood pressure.
The entire section is fucking cracking up.
And we're all just, and then he goes, no.
And he goes, no.
The New York State Athletic Commission has deemed he is not fit to compete. Key Kitaro has too high blood pressure.
He has been eliminated.
And then
they dinged, and he turned around.
And he looked so... He was wearing a mask, but he had his head down. He just slowly walks to the back, and the crowd was so mad. They were so...
I was like, I was fucking losing it.
Let him fight!
Laughing so fucking hard. But yes, that was like the best spot of the night.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... And then he came back out as what's it called? Yoshihiko's handler.
Yes.
So that was why they took him out of the match. But yeah, that was incredible. And the match in general was just fucking great.
Yeah, Yoshihiko. I remember when the music hit... You didn't know what it was. I knew what it was. I jumped up. I
couldn't hear Undertaker sing.
Oh.
I didn't understand what
Undertaker... I heard the dong, and I knew it was the Ministry of Darkness.
My hearing is very bad.
Okay.
I didn't hear the dong, and then once it got...
Dun,
once it started being Undertaker's
theme
song.
Please don't tell me people in the building actually thought Undertaker was coming out, though.
But people... Okay, we'll get to that later.
I know.
But yes.
People thought that, so I thought, you know...
Yeah. So you came out, and... like threw people around. That was really cool.
Yeah, Colt Cabana was in it.
Colt Cabana was in it.
He was great. Yeah. He got a big pop. Everyone loves Colt.
But yeah, great little match.
Yeah, a lot of fun. That's part with the tap to the to the sharpshooter was one of the greatest things I'll ever see all time in my life. Yeah. Where the dog got the sharpshooter on the guy and tapped. Or was it a Boston Crab?
It was a sharpshooter.
Sharpshooter and got him to tap out. The crowd went so
fucking crazy for Yoshihiko, and the people in the room must have been like, we miss this. We miss the crowd just going this nuts for Yoshihiko.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of old news in Japan by now.
Yeah.
They still go pretty crazy for it, but
yeah,
not.
But, I mean, Peter Pan I went to, he was just in a 10-man tag or something. He wasn't in...
But yeah, so after the match, Saki Kai wins the belt back.
Yeah, and we thought, oh, that's it. She gets the belt back to end the show. But little did we know.
Match number three was the 3-way tag, right?
I think that was
next. I should have looked at the card before I went. I thought we could do it by memory. But yeah, so 3-way tag. This may have been the greatest 3-way tag in pro wrestling history.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to think of a better 3-way tag, and I really couldn't think of one. Mm. Like, they're usually pretty fucking bad.
Yeah, it's hard to do a 3-way.
And I was like trying to think of, like, you know, has there ever been a better one? Like, this one was like probably a 4-star match.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was incredible. But
who were all the participants again?
So all six, one team was Hirashima and Katsusada Higuchi. Yeah. Actually, did we miss a match? No, I think that's Iron Man Heavyweight Title. Hold on.
And one of them landed on you.
Yes. Okay, never mind. Hirashima and Katsusada Higuchi, Akito and Ethan Page, and Jason Kincaid and Shigehiro Irie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, that was incredible. I don't know. Like, it was
great
just
match.
It was just an incredible match. And yeah, Higuchi landed right on me. I asked him. I was like, Daijoubu? He said, no, Daijoubu. No,
yeah.
But
pretty funny.
Yeah. Just a really, really... I can't believe it only went 8... It went, like, under 9 minutes.
Yeah. They did so much in that 9 minutes, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, they just... You know, Jason Kincaid was great.
Yeah, he was great.
Pretty much everyone in the match was great. Even Ethan Page had a couple of spots.
Yeah, Ethan Page was good.
Yeah. I don't know. The crowd was going nuts for it, so... After this was the Weapon Rumble.
Yep.
Sinshiro Takagi and Mao. Again, this only went 12 and a half minutes, apparently.
Wow.
It felt like, in the building, it felt like it went like a half hour.
Yeah.
And not in a bad way.
Not a bad way, just because it was so epic. It's hard to believe, like, such an epic battle.
So they bring out these weapons. Like, they had, I think one of the very first weapons was Antonio Honda dressed as Hulk Hogan.
Which
is a
the
gimmick.
One thing they didn't get the reaction they thought they would, I think.
This is a gimmick he does, like, even in, like, tiny indies, apparently. Mm. He really loves doing the Hulk Hogan gimmick. And you could see, like, I've seen people say, like, oh, they expected to get boos. Fuck no, they did not.
I didn't look at their faces, but I've heard people who did.
I looked right at their faces, and they looked really surprised.
But,
So,
I mean, at the right show, that would have gotten a pop. But this show, this is a crowd that's a woke, more woke crowd, I guess.
Yeah.
And they don't want to see someone...
I don't think it's just, woke or, like, just more like...
Like, I'm sure he'll get cheered at the Hall of Fame since he's going to be there, but...
It's not a WWE crowd, probably,
Yeah, it's not a WWE crowd, so, They don't want to be reminded of their shitty American wrestling, I guess. I don't know.
And probably...
Unless you're kind of, like, making fun of it. But,
and probably hate Hulk Hogan for other reasons, too.
Hate Hulk Hogan, and...
Because I did hear people... I heard, like, two people behind me go, like, tasteless and not cool. So, people were pissed. And it got really big boos, but thankfully it moved
on.
They
decided to go with it, and they beat the shit out of him. Yeah, so that got a pop from the crowd. I mean, it didn't ruin the match or anything. It just wasn't a reaction. I mean, it wasn't their biggest babyface star like other companies have their biggest star get booed out of the building and get told to go home and fuck off and stuff like that. But there was just one thing that didn't go the way they thought it would, but...
They had a toilet.
They had a toilet that they were selling later that night for $10.
They had Legos.
Which okay, those plastic things, those look like they fucking hurt.
Do they?
Okay. Like, they look like, I kept thinking someone was gonna get cut real bad on the sharp edges when they went through one of those things. They had those plastic boxes. They had the Legos. You sick fuck, they were chanting. I love that idea of using Legos instead of tacks, but thumbtacks. And what other weapons do they have? They had the bike.
And then
they broke the bike.
People in the back couldn't tell it was broken. So, like, I know Rich Craich, who was there from Voice of Wrestling, he on his review said, like, I don't know why Takagi couldn't ride the bike.
Because
they broke the gear.
Yeah. And this was like, well, but the first time where he actually drove around the ring to try to get momentum, which barely got him in. But he drove it.
The whole crowd is like fucking losing their shit.
Yeah, during that.
And
with
during
all these
that.
Weapons.
And then finally, the last weapon, because they're three for each.
Yeah.
It goes a long time. And it's no weapon. And the crowd.
I knew exactly who
the
this
crowd
was.
Goes apeshit. I knew. I was like jumping up and down.
I knew I was going to see him sometime this week.
Because he was posing
in what
Stadium.
Show. Okay, yeah.
And like, yeah, and like.
Out comes Shinsuke.
Shinsuke. Some people thought it was going to be the real Shinsuke, and apparently some other
people
still
thought when
yeah.
he was in the ring. And it's like, guys, no. But
I know
because
he's
too good.
Look,
you know,
this was a better performance
than
Shinsuke
has given a long time and is going to give this Sunday, but he did.
But,
I mean,
the crowd was
I've heard. Cool. I had never seen him live before, Shinsuke Nakamura, but I've heard of him and he was great. And I mean, don't people realize he's still at the title? Well, Shinsuke does not have the U.S.
Oh, yeah,
title anymore.
True.
But
I didn't even think of that. Well, see, I you could tell me Shinsuke Nakamura is still U.S. champion, and I wouldn't.
Yeah, I actually didn't remember until like this morning. I was in the shower. I was like, oh, sure, wait, Nakamura's no longer champion, right? He got beaten by somebody. Who I don't know, but I know he's no longer
R-Truth, I think.
No, yeah, and then now Joe has it. But,
okay,
but I was just thinking about this morning. Wait, Nakamura's not champion anymore, right? He's not U.S. champion. But did he used to walk around with like a replica of the NXT title when he won the NXT championship?
I don't know. He probably did. I think he just had a toy. I think he just had a toy belt of it.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he had like a funny fucking like Danish cookie jar fake
yeah.
belt. I think it's just like a toy version, if I remember correctly.
This is the one thing that I might... this was still great, but some of the weapons they had in the Weapons Rumble in 2017 that we were at were a little bit funnier, but it would have been harder for us to get some of those. But
yeah, this was still amazing.
This
and then
was amazing.
Shinsuke turned on... At first, said acted like it was Mao, and then turned on Mao.
Yeah.
And then... I think he first acted like it was with Takagi, turned on Takagi,
turned on Mao.
He
kept turning, like a triple turn.
And then Takagi got the win, finally.
Yeah.
But that was incredible.
Great show.
I mean, the show's not over.
Yeah, the great match.
Great match. Just absolutely incredible. Then the semi-main, and they cleaned that shit up so fucking fast.
Yeah, they were in
like,
and out.
All these Legos were all over the fucking ring
all
and everything.
All these streamers, all these plastic crap. And
like, I thought it was going to be like a
toilet
minute.
And bike and, you know.
I was expecting to be like, okay, now we're taking a brief intermission.
No,
like, no, they just
swept it up. Ran in there, yeah. Got it.
Semi-main event, the Joey Ryan, oh no, actually first.
No, there's another match.
Yeah, Miyu Yamashita
and the women's
Maki
match.
Ito. This went under 7 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this felt like it was just amazing.
It's just that usually matches that short, you can never be good, you think.
Yeah.
But these matches were all great, so it's hard to think they were that short, but...
I mean, it was a fucking awesome match.
Yeah, it was a great match.
I mean, her and
both
Maki...
Both of them were awesome.
And they were again, super over. They had to go out there and follow that Weapon Rumble.
Yeah.
And they completely pulled it off. Like,
yeah.
The crowd was super into all of it. You know, just all of Maki Ito's, like... you know, her gimmicks like banging her head into the thing and everything. They were super into that. And then Miyu just kicking the shit out of her. They were into that too. So yeah, these two went out there and had to follow Weapon Rumble and they did a great job.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were awesome and this is an awesome match. And just seeing Maki Ito live is like an experience. And like she was telling everybody goodbye as she left the building.
Yeah.
Just like shaking everybody's hand like, thank you, so much, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Giving people, giving her opponent the finger. She won, lost, but... And then came a match.
Yeah. Joey Ryan and Royce Isaacs.
This was a match.
Defeating Antonio Honda and Don Chocodino. This only went 13 minutes.
They knew what to do leading up to this. Everyone kept asking, what are they going to do with Dino? Like, is he going to do what he does in Japan? Is it won't
if you don't
really
know what he
did
in
America?
Japan, he like kisses random people.
Men. He kisses random men. Which still could be an issue in America. But they made sure, before he came out, if you want to kiss... Put up your hand. Now, everyone in the audience pretty much raised their hand. Like, every
a ton of people.
No, almost not that many people didn't raise their hand. So he didn't get to everybody because everybody wanted a kiss. But in Japan, he just grabs random people.
Yeah.
But he's not ready. He's not, you know, expecting to have to have all these people wanting it. But he was grabbing random guys and kissing them. Every girl, he would just be like, no. And put their hand down.
Because girls would raise their
hand. Girls would raise their hand. He'd be like, no. And shake his head. No, I'm not. No.
And he put... That was great.
But he,
like, unexpected comedy to it.
He was great. He was kissing guys, making out with them. He got in the ring. And a match happened. And Joey Ryan has that gimmick with the lollipop and... As the match was going, I'm like, I think I know where that lollipop's going to end up.
Oh.
I just know that's coming eventually, and it did.
You
but,
did think of that, huh?
Yeah, I did. But, I mean, where to start with this one? Like, I don't even know. But
it was pretty... Look, all I'm going to say about this is The humor stuff.
I thought it was very entertaining.
Yeah, the humor stuff didn't. I was a little bit worried about it.
Did gross me out a little bit.
I was worried that like it was going to be more offensive to people, but it seemed like people liked it.
They were fine with it.
Like people, I know like one of the errands. I don't remember which one. They're just the errand, you know. One of them said they were like they had these normie women in front of them. Mm. You know, look at their first wrestling show in their life, and they fucking loved this.
Yeah,
like they were like thought this was like the greatest thing of all time.
One guy sitting next to us didn't understand. I don't remember who didn't understand the spot where he put the fingers by his butt, and then I was like, because then he's gonna put it in the guy's eyes. That's because he was doing it to his own partner.
Yeah.
But then it's like he's gonna. I guess the case is gonna give him pink eye. I don't know. Yeah. like, oh, and what's his name? So who was in the match again? Dino and Honda.
Dino and Honda.
Honda.
Honda's English story
gets in the ring. Does he? I'm assuming he does that this. A lot.
Yeah, he does.
And
it every
he trips
match.
Like doing a Kevin Nash impression, yeah. I guess. And then. And says he tripped. Has to retire.
But yes,
before
he took it.
Give up.
He took it further. I don't know if he normally says he's going to retire from wrestling. But yes, he said he's going to retire. And he's like, you know, I'm going to give up. But wait. Before I give up! Yeah, he does it on every show.
And he did really good English.
Yes, he was like, you know.
He told a story about a bunny in New York or something.
No, a fox.
A fox.
Gone the Fox, yes.
I didn't understand the story. But.
So Gone the Fox wants to go to the Empire State Building. But instead, he ended up at the Empire State Big Dick.
Oh, okay.
And he had the dick, like, hanging down, which he does every time, too. But yeah, so the crowd went crazy for going the fucking Fox. So I know like Jesse on Twitter said that she was, you know, at Koji. She said she was worried basically that like Honda was like the crowd was going to hold the Hulk Hogan thing against him.
No,
but the crowd didn't give a fucking. They
I'm
didn't
not
give
even
a
sure if they
shit.
Knew some of them knew it was him.
Yeah,
but
and like
they were fine.
They loved Honda.
Yeah.
So you know that was totally fine. So I totally get that fear because I was a little bit worried about that too.
Yeah. No.
But yeah, they were like they were totally cool. But yeah, so like there's a lot of butt stuff.
A lot of butt stuff. A lot of butt and dick stuff with Joey Ryan. Dick's
but it was,
butts.
Look,
but I didn't think there would be a match I'd see later this weekend where the word dick would be said more in, but there was. But
I mean, look, it wasn't like the worst thing. You know, I mean, sometimes these matches are really like drag a lot, and this one didn't drag at all. Like, you know, it made its point and went home, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't hate this at all. It was totally fine. And parts of it actually felt really funny. So, and I totally think you should do it on DET, like an intro to DET show. It's a big part of DET.
It's a big part. And then came
the main event.
Main event, which shocked a lot of people at the results.
So Daisuke Sasaki beat Konosuke Takeshita in 19 minutes. I had it just below their main event at Judgment from February. I went 4.25 on this. I don't know if you have a star rating or not, but.
I need to maybe watch it again.
Yeah,
the final
I do want to rewatch it again, and maybe even you know, change.
I mean, also because this was a match where the cameraman started getting my way a little bit,
but I was still able
to enjoy the show.
I thought it was incredible.
It was
though.
Still a great match.
This was like
I was still screaming and yelling, and the guy next to me who was getting very emotional. But
I mean, I was getting into really emotional too, and like I don't know, like Takeshita and Sasaki. In some ways, it felt like, you know, their greatest hits, which makes sense for the crowd. You know, Sasaki did those crazy dives into the fucking audience, and yeah, they were like, the crowd was just losing their minds for all the near falls down the stretch,
and then
Sasaki hit him in the dick, and he pinned him.
And we had a new champion. Everyone was very upset except you, John. You were cheering. Everyone else was like, oh no! But then,
so
it
Endo,
wasn't over.
So Tetsuya Endo basically walks up next to him, and. Endo, you know, he has his Right to Challenge gauntlet, and he's looking at the gauntlet, and he's looking at Sasaki, and I'm just like, oh God, is this really going to happen?
Yeah.
And, you know, Sasaki finally even says, I don't remember exactly what he said in Japanese, but he basically said, like, Endo, not now, not now. And at that moment, Endo, like, closed
first, if you remember, he dropped it on the ground and acted like he wasn't going to do it. And it's like, oh, don't worry about that. But then he picked it up. Put it on, and then, clotheslines
him. Sasaki says, like, not now, not now, and then Endo clotheslines him, and then he cashes in. The crowd is, like,
losing
their minds.
Except you, who you look very upset. You
I look
like
someone
just killed your dog or something.
Because I thought we were witnessing the end of my favorite, like, Damn Nation's, like, probably tied to LIJ for my favorite unit.
Yeah, the crowd is losing this shit, and you're just like,
I look like someone, like you said, shot my dog in front of me. But yes, Endo beats him in about 4 minutes. Sasaki still kicked out of stuff, which was cool.
Yeah.
And then Endo gave him the Shooting Star finally and pinned him. Now, in the post-match, they made it very clear, Damnation's not over. Because Endo actually gets down on his knees and apologizes to Sasaki.
Yes,
he's like, I'm sorry. He's like, pretty girls maybe do it, is what he said. And then he's basically...
First time he won the title.
We saw Tetsuya Endo win the title. Look, Peter Pan 2017, almost like a year and a half ago now, I thought we were going to see Endo win the title the first time there.
Yeah.
And instead he does it in 20 minutes from my house.
Yeah, in New York.
With a cash-in in a match when he was not even originally in.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty incredible turn of events.
Yeah, it is.
So, Tetsuya Endo, new KOD Openweight Champion. Absolutely incredible.
And then we thought the show was over again. And yet again, no. We still got more.
Yes, there were more Iron Man Openweight title changes. Makoto Oishi again with this fucking spit and roll-up.
Well, she runs at, like, we're all getting ready to leave, and all of a sudden she comes out, and they're all, like, five people are chasing after her. Like, a ton of people are chasing after her. It was like a Roadrunner cartoon or something.
And he did the spit thing. This is the third time he did it, because he did it to her in the Battle Royal, too, I
know, yeah, he did.
So, yes, he pinned, everybody's like, fine. I thought she was going to kick out finally.
This time, but no.
And then he gets pinned by Hirata, who won the Battle Royal before she pinned him at the end of that. And then Maki Ito comes out and pins Hirata. We all thought that was going to be like the end of the match show. But then Dino comes out and pins her.
Yeah.
And that's the real end of the show. And
Dino says goodnight to the crowd.
And Dino says it, gives this little English speech and says goodnight to the crowd.
Says he might come back. We're going to come back. So.
He said we're going to come back here and point at the ring. I'm like, you're going to come back to LaBoom?
That's what I'm hoping.
I hope so, but I think probably...
It might be just meaning America. Yeah. But we'll see. Maybe. We'll see.
Tampa. It could be Tampa next year.
Yeah.
But... This was incredible.
Great show.
Absolutely one of...
All the wrestlers were hanging out in the entrance as we were leaving.
There were a ton of people who said this was the best live show they'd ever been to.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it.
I've seen some really good ROH shows.
I was thinking about it. It might be. It's in the top three.
It's up there.
Yeah. I've seen so many wrestling shows live, honestly, and this was probably
the best show I've been to this weekend, but the best match I've been seeing this weekend live is on
Well, it's definitely show. The best show of the weekend.
But it was the best show of the weekend. But I think the Stardom one is really close. It's a real close one for me.
Yeah. But
that might just because the Stardom show is fresh in my mind. Might be that I'm thinking it's so close. But
I think it's
They're both awesome shows. But by and far the best two shows I went to live this weekend, and we'll see if New Japan can hold up tomorrow. But everyone was hanging out in the entrance. People were kissing Dino. He was grabbing dicks. He was, you know, doing all that good stuff. $10 for a kiss. I don't know. And grabbing a dick, isn't that prostitution? But anyway, because people were like, "Can I get a kiss on $10?" And the doll was there, and you know, it was an awesome show, and. So now we're moving on to the shows today, I guess.
Let me just say for the last thing for DDT. Incredible show.
And
I hope, I hope people who really liked it...
Spread the word.
I
want to hear the Observer, Dave Meltzer, say, everyone was raving about the DDT show. Should have watched that. Yeah. I want to hear him say that, but...
If you went to something else instead...
What was on during that?
WrestleCon Super Show, which I heard was like...
I sure was good.
But... I heard it had two really good matches, or two pretty good matches, and then nothing else.
That's
the WrestleCon Super Show every year.
Okay.
So it's always like a show that drags, that has maybe one or two really good matches, but...
Speaking of WrestleCon, we went to the one show at that building we went to this morning, Saturday morning, at 11 a.m. We got up real early, went inside the building. They do not serve food in there.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really stupid idea, because we know someone who was there all day yesterday and just had to starve all day because they had no food to sell. And first show, another thing they were missing was the thing called heat. We were up on the balcony, and it was early, 11 a.m. Today was the cold day. I mean, yesterday wasn't so bad. Didn't get cold till night. But today was freezing all day here in New York. And we're in there, up on the balcony. We could barely see. The balcony, the show was...
The ticket system was fucking stupid?
Yeah, because a guy had my seat.
So they made... No, even before that. So you get to hell. You get to the hill, and you go to the second floor. You try to go to, straight to the fucking like arena, and no. You have to go back over here to turn your ticket in
to get a stupid
wristband that'll let you in the convention too, because this lets you. So you have to stand in line for no reason.
Yeah, yeah.
To get this wristband, and some people they were taking the paper ticket.
So then, how do you know where?
Fucking sitting? Yeah,
that's really stupid. I saw them doing them. Like,
what the fuck?
I think you said I need to keep this, but. We sat down, and some guy had the exact same seat as me. It wasn't a mistake. We had the exact section, number, row, everything.
Yeah, like an usher came over. An usher came over,
and
okay?
He was like, he'd been dealing with this all weekend.
Yeah, he was like, I've been dealing with this all weekend. He's like,
they fucked this up. He was curt. Yeah. He was like, but he wasn't, he was like, he had, at this point, he had given up. He was past it. He looked like he had already experienced the anger and now was past it. Because he was cursing, but he was like very calm about it. He's like, yeah, these fucking idiots fucking do this all weekend. These fucking dipshits. They fucked this up. Whatever, if someone has a, you know, if someone sits in this
here's
seat.
The brilliant solution. You can either go to this GA, or if...
Just stay where you are.
Stay where you are, but if someone else comes to your seat, you have to move.
Yeah.
So, that's okay. What we did. Yeah. But we got lucky anyway, because there was nobody in our...
Yeah.
Like, this show, WrestleCon US vs. The World, was very undersold, I think. Like, yeah. It looked like...
There wasn't that many people. A lot of empty seats.
200? 250?
Yeah, maybe.
Something like that.
If that.
Maybe,
we were on the balcony... We could barely see the ring from our section of the balcony. I mean, the one part of the balcony I think you could see the ring was where they had all like the cameras set up and everything. So we just
like all these
balcony
all this,
just sucked.
Like
I guess,
they promoted the balcony. They were like, "Oh, the balcony's great. They it's lied. Very close." Yeah, it's complete lie.
I couldn't tell who was who. What
I went
was
downstairs
going on. It was so far away.
I went downstairs and watched the last couple matches and talked to people, and we could see better standing all the way in the back.
Also, I want to stress this again. This building was. Fucking freezing.
It was really cold.
I was freezing to death watching this show. I felt like I wanted to light myself on fire. I could not I mean, the matches might have been... I can't really judge this show, because the whole show I was concentrating on I was thinking of warm things instead of concentrating on the match. I kept walking around and going downstairs just so I could walk around and, like, move, create heat, you know, body movement, but it's freezing to death. A lot of these matches, I couldn't really tell what's going on.
Fucking Emil Satochi showed up again, who was in the terrible shotgun title match on the WXW show.
Just a bunch of random people.
Against Brian Pillman Jr.
Darby Allin.
That was awesome. That was a four-star match. That was fucking great.
That match looked good.
Black Taurus and Darby Allin.
They look great.
That was awesome.
Dicks were talked about.
David Starr and Daga was pretty good. Ikemen against Rich Swann was like not as good as I expected. It was pretty good. Mostly just seeing Jiro's entrance was the best part.
The six-man tag was pretty fun, but I kept fearing someone was going to die.
The six-man tag featured a wrestler in the Australian Suicide. I'm like, let's not make this a fucking...
Like let's not stay true to your name, buddy. Like, when the match ended, I was like, thank God, because I thought... This match doesn't end now. Someone's going to get killed.
I mean, look, this is the kind of match that other people are going
to... In front of, like, 200 people, though. Guys, you don't need to, like, kill yourself.
And, like, they did the fucking flipping, like, Canadian Destroyer on the apron. At one point, it felt like a guy did, like, six Canadian Destroyers in a row.
I know, like, there were too many Canadian Destroyers.
We can, like, end the Canadian Destroyer at two, maybe. You don't want to go six.
But Hart Foundation, it's been a long time since I've seen Teddy Hart, but...
Hart Foundation LAX sucked.
Yeah,
I heard someone got hurt, and that might be why.
Oh, okay. That's why.
But... Puma King and Sammy Guevara sucked. And the main event was fine. Brian Cage and Masato Tanaka, like a 3.25 star match.
Yeah.
I couldn't decide if
problems with the show had nothing to do with the wrestlers. It had to do with... fact that the seating was bad and I was freezing to death, but I can't.
I would put it like slightly above Evolve, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
But
if I could see it from a better view, with you know, in a place that's warm, I agree with you.
Yeah,
I can't really judge this show.
I mean, but. I like the idea, the feeling of like it's not even a real promotion; it's just a bunch of matches.
Yeah,
because it lets you like just kind of enjoy things as an exhibition.
Yeah,
but you know, because I'd never been to a WrestleCon show before, I never really even watched one. But yeah, I mean, like, it makes me... I was going to go to the WrestleCon Super Show. I even bought two tickets originally.
Yeah.
Before...
The Saturday one.
No, that's Thursday.
Thursday night.
But, like, you know, then they booked DDT the same time slot. I do not regret that decision. But yes.
And then we walked around WrestleCon a little bit.
Saw a lot of old wrestlers.
Saw some wrestlers. Thank God a lot of them have pictures of what they used to look like in front of them, because else some of them I wouldn't recognize. I mean... Let's just say, you know, you get old. But
It was cool seeing, I guess, all the
dudes. I won't name Rick names. Flair. But, yeah, Ric Flair was seeing him up close. Was, you know, Trish and Lita, Mick Foley, you know. Bret was there sometime this weekend. I saw his name on a list, but I didn't see Bret Hart there. Eric Bischoff, you know. Friggin' Ronnie Garvin. I didn't know he was still, like, going to cons. That was great seeing him. I knew one was nearby when, at the top of his lung, we couldn't even see him. We could hear, holla, holla, holla! I'm like, well, Teddy Long's over there somewhere.
I was, like, waiting for him to... They really, really should have brought him out. They're going to show him and be like, hold up there, player! This is now a six-man tag
match. Something like that. That would have been great. But
yeah.
I'm going to make this a tag team match.
But you're going to have to fight The Undertaker. But yeah,
he was around, you know, all these Billy Gunn. Why weren't Taka and Funaki sitting next to each other? They're on different floors. I was wanting to tell him your buddy's downstairs. Come on, and but we were seeing guys just like walking from one room to a friend of ours almost knocked Hornswoggle over in the bathroom. I saw Iron Sheik go by on his cart, and you know it was pretty cool seeing guys. Dan Severn walking around.
Yeah, like, Dan Severn walked right past me. I didn't recognize him
until he got by.
And I was like, wait a second, that was Dan Severn.
And then you didn't even notice Show when I saw Tanaka.
Oh yeah,
and then Yo showed it, and then they're like, oh, we got fans here. And trying to think of who else was like wandering around with Colt Cabana. You know, tons of guys.
Oh yeah, so. I introduced myself to Colt Cabana awkwardly. Dude. I was just like, hey Colt, thanks for letting Kevin Kelly plug my podcast on your podcast. And he's like, what podcast? I'm like, Wrestling on Makassi site. He's like, oh, sure, you're welcome.
Yeah.
That was it.
Okay. Who was the guy? We saw a guy there and our friend James thought it was somebody until we both looked at the picture and saw a guy holding a garbage can. And I'm like, is that who I think it is? Do they have Duke the Dumpster Drozy? And it was Duke the Dumpster Drozy.
Don't punch him.
I want to know where the goon is.
Repo Man was there.
Where was he?
You didn't see him?
I didn't see him. Was he as Repo Man?
Barry Darsow was doing the Repo Man thing.
Oh, I thought he was doing his up. He had other gimmicks.
I know, he had a million of them, but for some reason he was doing
Repo Man. I missed Repo Man. Oh,
unless someone else was just in a fucking Repo Man match, which
who
I know.
Knows.
Okay, so that was WrestleCon. Let's move on to the final show we're going to talk about from today.
Yeah, Stardom.
First of all, they almost killed us. They gave us April 30th.
I thought I was going to die in the rain. This was my fault because as we were walking to the show, I said to James, I hope they don't make us wait outside for a while. And he said, oh, I hope not either. Maybe it was because of that.
And
then we ended up waiting.
We got there very early.
We kept thinking, but they'll bring us in early, get us sell merch. And we're like, when are they? Well, they'll let us in soon. We've been out there for an hour.
We got
and
there.
And then that's when the wrestlers arrived.
We were like, an hour.
We've been out there a long time when the wrestlers finally, and we were like, we're going to be out here for a very long time.
We got there at 2:30 probably for a 4 o'clock show. That's really early.
But I thought they'd open the doors at like 3 or something.
It's just that we had nothing else to do because we had already gone, you know, we WrestleCon, we walked the entire fucking show floor.
We
got food. We just had nothing else. There was no other show. I mean, we're going to go pay $80 to go an hour of RevPro.
No.
So we got there really early. We almost froze to death. And then,
it started raining, freezing rain.
And then about a half hour in, all the Stardom wrestlers come by.
The best
part of this, none of them give a shit. Like, they're all like, we just need to get inside. We want to get away from these nerds. Except Hanakamura. Hanakamura was so fucking excited.
She was the one that stayed behind and like
she was like
took
posing.
Pictures of us.
She got she almost got this poor man taking her picture at some
run
Stardom
over by
worker
a car.
Run over by a car because she kept posing
in front of the fans.
And a car was coming and almost ran this guy.
This was the right decision by her, but she got one of the longest autograph lines later that night, so she knew what she was doing.
But she was going crazy and you know screaming. She's like, "Come on,
yeah!" All the wrestlers were like,
the wrestlers were waving.
Everything.
But they were just like, let's get the fuck inside.
Yeah.
And Hana,
we were
like,
take us with you, but they didn't.
Hana was like standing, going crazy.
And have we gotten, what was the attendance for the previous show? Because randomly, like 10 guys walked out, and then no one else walked out. And we were wondering, was that the entire crowd?
The previous
were there 10 people in that building?
The previous show was IPW UK.
Are we sure that was the...
That may have been the entire audience.
Was that the crew?
Were selling $1 GA tickets at one point to try to get anyone to go.
Okay, well, that is a bad sign.
And Yeah, I mean, the main event was James Storm versus Jimmy Havoc, so...
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like...
No.
I'm not going to WrestleCon, News for the World, not going to Shimmer, which I heard was great, too, from Taylor, our buddy Taylor.
Yeah.
But I'm going to fucking IPW UK.
Apparently, not many people did that.
But yeah, so they may have literally had a crowd of 10 people.
Okay.
Who the fuck? They also broke the bottom rope, apparently. Yeah,
but it turns out if you're going to break a rope...
Yeah, that's the one to break.
You don't need, because I didn't realize until half the show was over that thing was even broken.
Yeah.
Because you don't even need it, really.
I mean, they
did fine with that.
There were a couple of times they were trying to climb.
Climb to, like, pose, and they're like, oh, shit, this thing doesn't work.
But yeah, apparently you don't need a bottom rope. It's just there for show. That's good to know, because they were all bouncing off those ropes constantly.
And I guess that's why they were, because when we finally got into the building after, like, I felt being out here for, like, there like 3 hours thinking I'm going to die tonight.
Not only did they not open doors at 3, they probably opened them at, like, 3:45.
And then the ring wasn't even done being set up yet.
Yes. And they were having,
I'm
like,
guessing the previous group broke the ring.
That's what I'm saying. The previous group apparently broke the bottom rope.
They must have gone crazy trying to entertain those 10 people, I guess, so they broke the ring.
So, yeah. they broke the bottom rope, and, you know, they're going nuts trying to fucking fix this bottom rope. Apparently, on the stream, you could tune into Fight TV and watch 5 people stand there watching one person try to fix this bottom rope. Like, trying so hard. They had, like, at one point they moved the apron up and they had this whole fucking tray of wrenches.
Oh, wow.
Like 100 wrenches. And they were trying to find the right one, I guess, or something. But yeah, it was incredible. So apparently on Fight TV you could watch that for a half hour. People trying to fix a ring. But at like 4:28 p.m. So they had announced a while ago, like, okay, the show's going to start a half hour late at 4:30.
Yeah.
Fine. 4:28 p.m., the bottom rope's still not fixed. I'm like, what the fuck's going to happen? And all of a sudden, they just announced, folks, we'll be starting in a minute. I'm like, the bottom rope's not fixed. They just fucking started anyway. They just gave up. And like you said, apparently you find out the bottom rope is there for show.
Yeah.
Because it didn't do anything.
They brought out the ring announcer. They gave us the authentic experience, but something to introduce, you know, new fans. Yeah. I thought it was a great show.
She brought out all the fucking... They literally brought the wrestlers out one by one and
one
told
by
you who
one,
they were.
And they told us, don't throw streamers if you got any until, you know, their match. This is just something we do. You know, we'll show everybody that's going to be on the card. We all stand in the ring, and it was great. Why don't you give me a look? What I did?
I didn't give you anything. I'm sorry.
So it was weird. The match that I thought would be the main event wasn't the main event, but I think it still worked out in the end.
So the opener was Jungle Kiona and Natsuka Tora against two locals from House of Glory.
Yeah,
whose ring they were using, Sonya Storm and Violet. Taylor told me that Sonya Storm and Violet, he had heard from somebody else, were like really bad.
I thought the match was pretty good.
And Sonya Strong, sorry, not Storm. But yeah, I thought the match was like a 3.25.
There was only one disappointing match on the show, and I think it was only because it was so short.
Yeah.
But
this was like a fun opener.
Yeah, it was a fun opener.
I mean, I enjoyed it.
This show also had a camera guy in front of me the whole time. He was short.
He was short, and we were like on an angle.
That was what it was. It wouldn't have been a problem except we were on an angle, but it was still a great show. But that was.
And then match number 2 was the 3-way tag. So
great match.
This one was
so much fun.
They were like, 3-way tags are not normally good matches.
This Japan knows how to do it.
I guess so.
I don't know.
It was Brittany Blake and Britt Baker against B Priestley and Konami and Hana Kimura and Bobby Tyler. And yeah, I don't know. This match was awesome.
One thing is when the two women were in the ring. The other four didn't just, like, you know, the other ones didn't just hang out there and wait for... They were just beating the shit out of each other.
They fucking killed each other.
All at once.
We're sitting in... We have front row to this, too. And we're, like,
so they're just... Priestley would just come over everywhere.
And just start kicking people.
They were like, hey, get over here.
Yeah, they would just kick. They just start beating the shit out of each other. Like, Hana would randomly come over and just, like, kick someone in the face.
I don't like you. And they were just fighting all the time. And it was just, like... Everywhere you look, you were being entertained, basically.
Yeah,
they weren't just sitting there waiting for tags. They were like, well, no one's tagging me now. I'm going to go kill that person. Go! Fuck you!
Like, the one thing I noticed, like, and I've been to Star... I went to a Stardom show in Japan. You were there.
I didn't go to the one.
You didn't go to that. Like, the foreigners really, like, join in on what the Japanese girls do.
Yeah.
They're just like, okay, you want to work stiff, motherfuckers? Yeah. Here we go.
That's what you do.
And they just beat the shit out of each other. And it's like, okay... But, yeah, I mean, like, this was great. I mean, this was I mean, Hana was awesome.
Yeah, the crowd, Hana was great.
The crowd absolutely adored her.
She really got the crowd. And then when she won and they didn't play the right song.
Oh, she was...
And she screamed, play my fucking music!
And then she was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, play my fucking song!
And then the fucking ring of
death. Were they playing like your team song?
They were playing Queen's Quest song.
Oh, they played the wrong team song.
Then,
okay.
And then like... Yeah, the ring announcer finally says, will someone please play Hana Kimura's song? Oh. Like, I mean, the House of Glory side of it apparently didn't hold their end of the bargain.
Yeah.
Because, like, apparently the stream was terrible. Oh. The announcers were terrible. Yeah. The stream died at some point. But live, it was incredible. I don't know what to tell you.
Should have gone live, guys.
Well, not everybody can do that.
Mm.
Match number three was Dust against Hazuki. For the high-speed title. This is the one I think you said was a little disappointing.
It only went like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I think because they got in late, they had to cut time for one of the matches, and this is the one that got time cut, I think.
But it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, it was fun, but it only went like 5 minutes, and then it was all of a sudden like over, and I was like, oh, okay. But I felt like if they had more time, it would have been a better match, but I guess, you know, one match had to be the casualty. When they had to cut time from the show, and this unfortunately had to be the one, but they weren't cutting time from the semi main. I'll tell you that.
I don't know how long. I wonder how long that went.
The semi main.
Yeah,
just a little over under 20 minutes. I thought they said.
Okay.
I thought they said that. I could be wrong.
It might
be a little bit over 20.
So a little surprising. It wasn't the main event. It was the semi main for the Wonder of Stardom title. Momo Watanabe and Utami Hashita.
Best match of the weekend.
I think
fucking awesome.
I think they wanted to do the Oedo Tai dance last. Maybe that might be why.
That might have been it, yeah.
But, yeah, this was incredible.
Great
like,
match, yeah.
I went 4.5.
Apparently it cut off in the middle stream.
Yeah. I mean, I think this was actually... Don't say it like that. That was terrible.
I'm sorry.
Like, these people were really into it, probably, watching
know,
at home, too. And Utami... Apparently, right when Utami had her up in the torture rack, that's when the stream cut.
That
fucking sucks.
But and it never came back?
No, it did come back.
Oh, okay.
And then I think cut again and then came back. But yeah, this was incredible. I mean, look.
Terrible match.
I think this was slightly better than the Momo Jungle match.
Yeah.
And it's really close. But
got
like,
a standing
this, like,
ovation at the end from the crowd.
Yeah, everybody like stood up.
And
clapped and like... Yeah, I mean, Momo, her kicks are just incredible. She kicked poor Utami as hard as she possibly could. Utami at one point blocked the kick that Momo has been using to set up the Peach Sunrise, like the way she beat Jungle, and that was such a cool fucking spot.
Yeah.
So they blocked it and caught her and like tossed her over her head and like just landed with a thud. Yeah, this match is incredible. They both have just like, I don't know, like such presence live. Like they both feel like like
Big
super
star.
Fucking stars.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was really really good. I was pulling hard for Utami. I don't know who you're rooting for.
I was with you, I think,
And I just wanted to see the big rookie get it, the win.
I wanted the title change. Because we were cheering for her while a lot of
Taylor,
well, Taylor
of
was
he,
cheering for Momo.
Taylor,
I think.
A lot of people were cheering for Momo, which I don't... I mean, Momo's incredible, too. I mean, it's like trying to pick between...
There was one guy who kept pronouncing the names wrong.
Oh, Hana was the worst.
Yeah.
A lot of
we
people kept saying...
yelling Hana.
I would yell, Hana! And like, he would yell, Hana! Like,
and we kept yelling Hana louder to try to tell him, buddy, it's
and Taylor,
Hana.
Taylor
and then he would just go, Hana! Even louder. It's like... All right, buddy. You want
Taylor
you're
was
proud
laughing
that you're
too.
Wrong. Okay.
The England, like the Americans, don't understand too. Like that, like the Joshi or Puro yell. You're supposed to do that when the rest you're training for is like losing.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not supposed to do it while like
just random parts or they're walking out.
While they're having somebody in a like if Momo has Utami in a headlock, that's not when you yell for Momo.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, you're supposed to wait. And, like, a lot of people don't seem to... But it's cool that they're... I mean, I prefer that kind of yelling anyway than the fucking, let's go blank.
Yeah.
Because that gets
you
so...
You still got
that
it.
That gets so fucking annoying. So I'm glad that the Americans, like, at DDT and at Stardom were, like, trying to copy that. But, you know, it's a lot better way to just show your support than endless chanting.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was an incredible match. Do you have a star rating or no?
I'm probably with you, 4.5.
It was. I mean, a couple people were going 4.75.
Yeah,
and
I was thinking about it.
I
may need to watch it again.
I might rewatch
like,
it.
Yeah, like a real.
Whenever the fuck
a,
that actually
demand,
is
yeah.
off, I don't know.
But the main event.
The main
still
event was
delivered.
Great too.
Yeah,
I mean,
that got a lot of energy out of the crowd. The first team to come out were really interacting with the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, the heels were really like...
Well, they're heels, but like they're heels, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
I mean, and the
were
crowd loves them.
Demanding
so.
High fives from everybody. They were great.
I know, I got... Miyagi and Hazuki both gave me a high five, which is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that reminded me of the first team from the triple threat tag match. The two girls that were off, Britt Baker and who was the other one? They were heels, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember as they were walking back, yelling and cursing like some little girl like asked for a high five, and Britt Baker's in the middle screaming and cursing, and then sneaks in a high five the little girl, but then keeps acting heelish. But
But yeah, so like that was awesome. Jamie Hayter, by the way, is awesome.
Yeah,
I'd seen her against Momo, and she was great there. I think I'd seen her a couple times before that, but she was fucking great in this match.
Yeah,
and so there you go. That's like my big foreigner praise for the show.
Yeah,
I think she was.
I thought everyone was great in this.
This
was again. They went outside. They were fighting everywhere. Everyone was kicking the shit out of there.
A couple of times, Jamie was right in front of us, and clearly was not expecting to get kicked in the face from inside the ring. And you could just see her like react, like "What the fuck?" That was
awesome. Yeah.
But they just, they
crowd got a little wet, but spit ended up on some of the people in the front row.
One of the girls, like, got spit on and looked annoyed. Her friend was just like, "Spit on me, mommy," which was really funny.
That's something else we should point out. The shows that had the most women this weekend were DDT
and Stardom.
Yeah, by far. Yeah, because Evolve only had a couple. WXW had none.
Had none.
Yeah.
You could tell. It's really easy to tell for LaBoom because they have a separate line for men and women. And DDT was like the first time there was actually women in the woman line.
Yeah, for the bathroom. But,
like Evolve. No. To get in the building.
Oh, to get in the building.
Because remember they have to like strip search you.
Yeah.
So when you're waiting in line, there's like a left staircase for the women and right for men. There were no women at all for Evolve and WXW. And then finally when because you had to exit the building and go back in each time.
Yeah.
And then finally when we went in for DDT, there were like actually like a lot of women, so and they were it seemed like there were a ton of them all night, but yeah, I mean like Stardom too, they're not quite as much as DDT, but they were a bunch of women.
Yeah, there were women there.
Yeah, I mean Evolve, like you said, just a couple, and WXW, you know, a lot more.
Some awesome shows.
The main event though,
great. And we got the meet and greet, everything.
The meet and greet, Hanakamura, love my Sailor Moon shirt, so that was nice. But I had a great time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, awesome it felt like authentic Stardom to me.
Yeah.
That's the important thing, too. Like, it felt like going to a Stardom. And by the way,
it made me want to watch more Stardom.
The person who fucking complained, who replied to the We Are Stardom account and said, because I knew someone was going to do this, and said, "Oh, there's a lot of foreigners on the show. Very disappointing. Watch a fucking Stardom Corkin for me and tell me how many foreigners there are."
Yeah.
That's the entire promotion. Is basically foreigners fighting Japanese people.
Yep.
So having a bunch of foreigners on the show is not inauthentic. It's actually very authentic.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was just, I had to dunk on that person because that's one of the dumber tweets I've seen in a while. But yeah, so I guess we can wrap things up.
Yeah. Really, I still got a long ride home.
Really cool show. Really cool authentic. Show
for that NDDT.
Felt like a Corkin, honestly. And you know the
people
meet
are probably
greets.
Gonna be saying just like Japanese. I'm gonna be like, okay, well.
What? And what do you want me doing? There were two best shows.
They were the
went
best
to.
Shows. Like,
I mean, there were plenty of standout performances by non-Japanese
guys.
People.
I'm probably gonna love the Takeover show when I watch it when I get home. So this guy probably won't. But so it's not just.
I mean, Darby Allin was great.
Yeah,
David Starr was great. Jamie Hayter was great. I mean, there are plenty of great performances by non-Japanese people. But those two shows were clearly the best shows.
Yeah.
I mean, DDT and Stardom.
And then there's another show featuring Japanese talent tomorrow.
Yeah.
But,
I didn't want to go to a big preview because by the time a lot of people hear this, they might have seen the show already.
Yeah, probably.
We did get one question, because not surprising to get more than that since I did the call right in the middle of NXT. Niagara Driver says, "What was your impression of the Stardom crowd? More first-timers or more regular viewers?" There were a lot of regular viewers.
Yeah, there were some regular viewers.
I mean,
there were a lot of first-timers.
Yeah.
But
I think it was
like half and half, maybe.
Yeah.
But
there were a lot of people, I think, that
there were a lot of people that knew what was who everybody... Because the meet and greet, got full.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, people... I mean, there was one guy who said he bought 8 meet and greet tickets. So, I'm thinking he was the guy in the LIJ stuff that, like, asked for the fist bump. He knew where everybody was. I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, but there were some people after the show was over was like I want to get meet and greet. I want to meet some of these people who didn't know, obviously, going in, but then after seeing the show, wanted to meet, get pictures. So I'd say like 50-50, maybe.
Somewhat up.
But there were more fans than we thought there would be, more than WXW.
Oh, yeah.
But,
So, that'll wrap things up, I guess.
Yep. We still got one more show to go to tomorrow, but yeah,
the last one of the weekend.
Well, there's something on Sunday. There is something on Sunday. It's an all-day thing, though. You're going to go there?
No.
No. All right. So, this has been fun.
Want to plug your Twitter, buddy?
Oh, yeah. I have a Twitter. What is it? I'm underscore not underscore Quinlan.
Which, by the way, the fucking thing never gets it correctly when I try to link to it. Oh. Like, it always gets rid of the underscores on Audio Boom. I don't know why.
Oh.
It's really weird. Audio Boom does not like underscores.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? You can follow us on Twitter at WrestleOmakase.
Wrestling. Yeah. Wrestling. Hold on. I think I know this. Ling didn't fit.
Wrestling would not fit.
Ing didn't fit. Yeah, I've heard that before.
Wrestling wouldn't fit.
You know, they get it now. You don't need to say that.
WrestleOmakase.
Are you going to make poor Kevin Kelly say that eventually, buddy?
I said it in front of him on the air. And thank you, by the way, to everybody that gave great positive feedback to the Kevin Kelly interview last week. I had a lot of fun with it. I couldn't believe half the shit he said either, because that was like the main feedback I got. Yeah. Was I could, like, people were like, "Is he allowed to say that?" I'm like, I think he thinks
can't understand it anyway.
I think he thinks none of his bosses are going to listen to an English language podcast. But Kevin, I had a great time, and you know, hope Kevin will come back on sometime. That was really fun. But for Wrestling Omakase this week, I don't know what next week's episode is going to be. I have to figure that out. But in the meantime, thank you as always for listening, and we'll see you next time.
In a world of 1 million wrestling podcasts, there is a new shining star with great interviews, analysis, music, and me, Matt Kuhn, on Total Engagement. Go to any podcast platform to listen today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.